Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning. Today is 19. What does that mean? It means it's the 19th day of the 12th month of the year of 2021. How about that? How about we went from January 1st of 2021 to now we're on the 12th month, or in the 12th month of the year, as we would say, on the 19th day. That is such an awesome accomplishment. And I just want to say right quick why that's an awesome accomplishment. Because not only are we still here in the land of the living, but we have the ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're sharing it from the north to the south, to the east, to the west. And where are we doing it? On the World Wide Web. Somebody not only is not here that was here January 1st of 2021, but there's somebody that is not only still here, and they started off the year with us. And so I just want to take a moment of silence to thank God for us not only still being here, but for Him allowing us to have great family members that were here with us that aren't here with us today. The mothers, the fathers, the aunts, the uncles, the children. Let's just take a moment of silence to recognize them, to memorialize them, to let them know, although they are not here with us, we love them. We thank God for them. And for those who are blessed to be able to be in a place that they will be able to reign with God, worship God, bow down before God. My. They're in a better place. Some transitioned in the middle of various sicknesses and diseases. Some left us due to crime and other types of things. But the one thing that we know, that we know, that we know, we love them more than we could ever tell anyone. Some of them had special places in our lives. Some of them, their very existence special. The very anointing on their life was special. The very assignment from God was special. Some of you may say, well, you haven't even prayed yet, and it sounds like you're already sharing the message. Well, I want you to know I haven't started even saying or to what we're going to talk about today. But the one thing I wanted to make sure we did was take time to recognize the people that's gone on and to say to God for those that have transitioned to be with you and also thank you for the ones that are still here. For we take it not for granted that if we have not fulfilled our purpose and our God-given destiny, that you've still given us time to do so. So, with that, this is Smile 3, and this is Cecilia. And I thank God for each and every one of you who are on the line. I thank God for each and every one of you who are listening via Blog Talk. I thank God for each and every one of you who are listening to us in any type of tool or thing that God has given you to be a part of this program. So once again, this is the 19th day of December. And what an honor it is. So for those of you who do not know, I know that Minister Sylvia has been on the air letting everyone know that we are actually in Las Vegas for the birthdays, and it's a privilege and an honor that God has given us to be able to be here together in Las Vegas. And he didn't have to, but he did. And I know many of you are like, okay, but I thank God for a few people, and I'm going to thank God for them, and then I'm going to pray. So I thank God for Minister Sheila, whose birthday is this month. I thank God for Minister Sylvia. I thank God for Minister Margo. I thank God for Minister Tony and Minister Ron. I thank God for Dr. Wright. I thank God for Prophet Antoine. I thank God for Pastor Troy. He's still here, y'all. The enemy came in and tried to just take him out. But this is, you know, not a day that I'm going to talk about what's going on or what happened with him. And the reason that I'm not is because that's his testimony that God has given him. And I thank God that soon he'll be able to share that testimony with each and every one of us. And I am just grateful. I thank God for Reverend Lawrence, who's a part of Smile 3E as well. You know, many times we don't recognize people enough. And I have to say I repent myself because I need to do a better job of recognizing people. And so it'll just be, as far as operating in the program today, it'll just be me. Minister Sheila is not available right now. So I will actually ask if there's anyone on the line that would like to pray for the program. And if it is, I'll let you do that. I'll be opening up the line shortly. And if there isn't, I'm going to go ahead and do that as well, because I just thought about that. You know, I said I was going to pray, and I definitely can pray, but if there's anyone on the line that would like to pray, I also want to make sure we say that this is Let's Talk, and Let's Talk means that not only are we talking to God, God is talking to us. We also have to make sure that we have an interactive program. But if there's no one that wants to pray, of course, I'm always here to pray. So the lines are open. Is there anyone that would like to pray for the program on this morning? If you are, please go ahead and pray. Otherwise, I will pray. I'm going to pause for a few seconds just in case someone wants to pray. Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you for your awesomeness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for being Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Thank you for your word that's been written from Genesis to Revelation. Thank you how your word shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that for which you sent it. Thank you for loving us so much that you allowed us to see the 19th day of December in 2021. Thank you, God, for showing us how important we are to you and for showing us how important you are to us. Your word has reminded us that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that you have in store for us. Thank you, God, for what you have in store for us. Thank you, God, for your loving kindness. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, for every family member. Thank you, God, for teaching us how sacred it is to be blessed to know you, to worship you, to adore you, to pray to you, to listen to you, to know that your word says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thank you for the ear to hear you. Thank you for your Spirit speaking to us and through us. God, have your way on today. Do what only you can do, because you're God. So we thank you, and we thank you. So I'm going to start off with just singing just that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, hallelujah. You've been so Hallelujah. You've been so good. Hallelujah. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. One more time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You just don't know that. Just those words. Thank you, Lord. The sacredness of thanking God. Not that we're so this or that, but to be able to thank God. I was talking to someone, and then we're going to get into the context of what the message is because it aligns with this. And we were talking about 3 sixes. And they were saying how they didn't believe in the Antichrist and how they didn't believe that's what the 3 sixes stood for and how they didn't believe in God. And I said to them, but I believe. And I pray that God makes it where you believe and that you believe before you leave here. Sometimes people are going to say things like that and you're going to realize just how lost they are. But you're also going to realize why you are in their lives. Because they said they didn't believe necessarily in God, but they believed that it was someone or something watching over them. It amazes me how many people want to call God someone or something or the man upstairs or a higher power or this or that. But it's sacred just to know who God is. Sometimes when people talk like that, you don't want to be around them. You don't even want to just do whatever. But then God reminds you that you're here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And why wouldn't you be around them who need him? Jesus even said that he didn't come for those that already knew him, but he came for the lost. But to be honest, some of us that even know him, do you really know him? Are you really connected to God? Are you really dedicated to God, for his purpose, for his destiny? Are you really blessed? Have you really hollowed out a place, not just in your home for him, but in your heart? Are you vulnerable to him? Do you really revere him? Do you really know him? When was the last time you had devotion time set aside just for him? When was the last time you repented for thoughts, for things you said, and it wasn't predicated on the fact that you did something wrong, but it was predicated on the fact that you just love him, that you just thank him, that you just know him. Where I realized that some of the things that people are holding sacred is not God. A matter of fact, they're called sacred cows. See, if a person has another person, a thing or organization or a club or an association with something or someone that they esteem to be highly respected or even secretive, and they feel it wrong to ask them questions, they feel that it's wrong to challenge those things that don't align with God, those things that remind us we have a loving, respectable, honorable, holy God who's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we treat that person like they're all of this and all of that, but yet we treat God like he's something that watches all over us. He's something that's the man upstairs. Obeying God and challenging wrong and disrespectful things that are just plain old rude and manipulative and controlling means that if that thing that we're allowing that to happen with isn't in line with God, or something happened in our lives, we lost a loved one or lost something that we thought was sacred, whether it was our home or our house or our car or a husband or a wife. Were they your sacred cow? And when you lost them, you blamed God? Or was it that whether it was a type of manipulation or controlling spirit or envious or jealous or covetous spirit or that which was a sower of discord and strife, that sacred cow was actually sent here and sent into your life to see, do you really love them? Not talking about that person or that thing, but do you really love God? Did you ever really love him? You know what I love about God? You can ask him questions. You can say, God, although I have this sacred cow, this idea, this custom, this thing, this mindset, this type of institution, this unreasonable thing in my life, a type of respect for something, I realize that I held it to be greater than you. Because as soon as they weren't a part of my life anymore, I've allowed depression and various thoughts of strife and lack and inability to be united with my brothers and sisters to become my sacred cow, that thing that the Hindus call sacred, an animal, an ideology, a reverence for, in Hindu, a very cow, because it gave people milk, you know, and mothers breastfeed their children. And then cows now give us milk. So not only are they saying now that that person is no longer being breastfed by their parents, if they were, because some use formulas and things of that sort. Now there's a cow that brings me life through milk. Seriously? Help me, God. There's a scholar by the name of P. Mueller Smith. He says sacred cows are behavioral patterns that we continually use that are no longer effective. He also goes on to say how having a sacred cow or cows in your life actually stifles your creativity. It actually reduces your ability to have innovative thoughts. It actually limits your ability to respond to something quickly, and ultimately it causes you too much. A sacred cow is too expensive. A sacred cow is something that eventually causes a type of irritation or a setback, even in the spirit realm, that must be dealt with, must be confronted, that very root cause. Because we have to go to God and say, God, what is it? Who is it? What have I put in your rightful place? What have I done that makes me now bound by this particular thing that is not you? Why was I willing to have something in my life, in my ministry, my, in my family, in the form of God? Because it's idolatry. Well, I'm going to be transparent with you. In my life, I've had things that were sacred cows. God actually, excuse me, revealed it to me. And when he revealed it to me, I repented. Some of the things you're going to say, it couldn't have been that bad, but it was. Do you all know that I had spent quite a few years in the military? And one of the things that bugged me beyond repair, I would have to pray about it all the time. When I saw people walking around in army colors and fatigues and stuff as a type of fashion statement, it vexed my spirit. Because I had been to war and I went through so much. And I thought about all of the people that went to the Vietnam War and Saudi and all of the various wars, and they had died and they were amputees and they lost their loved ones because of their post-traumatic stress syndrome and stuff. And so when I saw people that had not experienced that wearing our fatigues and our colors and our camouflages, I had to give it to God because, to be honest, I was angry because I felt they hadn't paid the price. Why should they walk around in camouflage as a fashion statement when we've gone through what we went through and how I felt that it dishonored us and it disrespected us? You hear me? Just the very camouflage colors was a sacred cow to me. And when God revealed to me that I needed to let that go, because some people are in a battle in their mind. Some people are in a battle in their neighborhoods. Some people are in a battle in their homes and their families. Some people are in a battle every day of their lives. So because they weren't in the United States military doesn't mean they weren't in a battle. God even reminded me about the battle that we have in intercession, how we're interceding for one another. And in many cases, that is a battle, not only between good and evil, a battle of praying and saying what God wants you to say instead of getting things and dealing with things in our own feelings. I'm going to share another thing with you, a secret thing per se. Many of you may not know, but my family, we've been a part of the Masons and the Eastern Stars for a while. We have our various secret code languages and things of that sort. And when people wanted to know about those various things, I protected it just like I was taught to. But it was one of my sacred cats. See, I'm not scared. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about what God delivered me from, the idolatry that was in my life. Do you know it was a time when if the Eastern Stars was doing something or the Masons were doing something, I would put it before whatever I was supposed to be doing at the church. Mm-hmm. There were some sports teams. Not like the Bulls and the Bears. You know, I don't have it like some of my relatives do. They'll throw down everything to watch the Bears or cheer for the Cubs. But those times when I was playing volleyball or basketball or coaching, those sports, those dance groups that I was in was so important to me. So much so, till my mother would make me and my sister say, you want to go out there? You want to do this? Go to church first. She was hoping that a word would come forth that day or that night that would cause us not to want to go to the club or to not want to do this or that. I have a few more things I want to be transparent with you about. I was even, somebody might be able to relate to this, and then somebody else might be saying, yeah, you're stretching it. No, you don't know what being from the west side or the south side of Chicago meant to me. Don't you badmouth the west side or the south side of Chicago. Don't you put Chicago down. That was a fight. There were even various gangs and clubs and associations that I had. Remember somebody called your mama a name, how you wanted to fight them because they said something about your mama or your daddy. They called them a holy roller or whatever. Well, in realizing those things that I would protect to the point of fighting, arguing, or whatever, God had me to realize that there were times when people were saying he didn't exist. And I just ignored the person. I wasn't taken up for my God. Not that he needed me to, but the very point that people could say stuff about God, but they couldn't say nothing about my mama or my daddy or my sister or my brother or my so-called friend. Well, there's things like that that many people would say, that's not a sacred cow. Maybe for you it's not. But I can tell you that the things that I would do and say when people try to do or say something against my Eastern Stars, my dance crew, my team or you got on my camouflage, I paid the price to blah, 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 blah. Help me, somebody. Exodus 20, verses 2 through 5, NIV version says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make yourself a graven image in the form of anything in heaven or in earth beneath the waters, or on earth above, or on the earth, let me get that right, or beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. My God. You know, the third, fourth generation? That was my grandmama's generation. That was my mother's generation. Then there was my generation. Then there was my son's generation. My punishing to my son's generation. And in this case, say if it began with my son, it would be his seed. And his seed. My God, my God. Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 9, Amplified Version says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, same scriptures, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol as an object to worship, or any likeness, form, or manifestation of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous, impassioned God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely mine, visiting and avenging the iniquity, the sin, the guilt of the fathers on the children, that is calling the children to account for the sins of their father to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Example, some people don't understand what it means to have generational blessings and things of that sort. Do you know how many people try to make us accountable for our parents' infidelities and our parents' sin? So if people will do that, trying to mimic what God has declared and decreed. I have wannabes that say that they're my father's child that try to hold me accountable for my father's sin. They're not God. They can't hold me accountable for things, the infidelities of my parents. But guess what? God can. My God. I'm going to keep on moving because that right there. Hallelujah. How man will remind you about what your brother did, what your sister did. Mankind, humankind will remind you about what you did. But they have no heaven or hell to put you in. But yet God can hold me accountable for not only the sins that I committed, but could hold my seed and my seeds accountable. I thank God for his grace and his mercy. I'm going to share a few other scriptures with you. Because, see, today is important that the Word of God speak and deals with us about some of these sacred cows that we have in our lives. car, that house, that individual. Something as simple as the camouflage that I was getting upset about. And I won't tell you all how many years I held on to that thing. My, 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 my. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they know you and only, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. 2 Corinthians. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Ooh, my God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say the man upstairs. He didn't say, he didn't say a higher power. He didn't say some organization or something that was looking out for you that gave you a house or a car or an outfit or some money. But he said, through him, it's all about Jesus. Let's talk about some of the sacred cows we even have in ministry and churches. How many of you know that the order of worship is even a sacred cow to some people? Some people will leave a church and tear down a cleric or a fellow clergy because they put the offering before the worship. How many of you know that some people, the music and the worship style, you can't change it. Don't you dare have a worship team instead of a hymnal choir. Oof. Don't you dare take away the Sunday evening service. Don't you dare do that. Don't you dare take away YPWW. Don't you dare. I'm about to get some of your things that you ain't going to like, but it's all right. Don't you dare smoke inside the church. You can smoke outside it. Ooh, that's a whole nother message. Don't you dare wear sandals or your shoulders out. Don't you dare wear makeup. Ah, my, 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 my. Don't you dare come to church and you don't have a towel. Don't you dare wear those jeans to church. Don't you dare talk about my pastor. Don't you dare talk about my minister. Don't you dare talk about apostle so-and-so or overseer so-and-so or bishop so-and-so, because they never did nothing wrong. They were perfect. I thank God that he's the God that perfects us. And God knows that we're not perfect. So whether it's a people or an attitude or a type of equipment or a thing or an institution or an organization that people feel you can't challenge them, you have to be loyal to them, you have to fear them, you have to walk like them, talk like them, act like them. Don't you dare not show up for so-and-so's party. Don't you dare challenge the very idea or the ritual or the routines and processes and approaches and people and the human systems. Don't you dare question us. We've always done it this way. Don't you dare go around thinking about changing or challenging my sacred cow. Are you willing to have an ear that hears what God is saying to the church? Are you willing to deem the things of God as not only acceptable, but that which God has called us to? 1 Corinthians, first chapter, 27th verse. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Verses 18 through 31 also talks about how the very message of the cross is foolishness to a lot of people. Remember, I told you about the young lady that not only didn't believe in the Antichrist, but she didn't believe in Jesus. But you know, it is written, according to this verse, 1 Corinthians 1 and 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And then verse 20 goes on to say, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21 says, for since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom does not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Verse 22, for Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. 23, but we preach Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews, Greeks, Christ, power of God, the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because of the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things. My. Even verse 28 goes on and talks about the things of this world, which are despised and that despise God. But even in this present time, we must know that the verse 30 through 31 says, but of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, the righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glorify the Lord. So we have to be willing to ask and challenge people and things and say, why? Why not? Why wouldn't God? Why can't God? When someone says this or that because of your beliefs. Do you know that it takes a lot for a person to understand that some of the things that they're doing and saying means that they might be psychologically safe, but they're not spiritually safe. even at the point of being ridiculed, even at the point of people saying that you're wrong or that you're missing it, that what you're talking about is obsolete. In the natural, if it doesn't align with what God is saying, we have to challenge it. That sacred cow of we always did it this way. We never do it this, or we don't say that, or we only this or that. Just know this on today. If anyone or anything, even in its simplest form, is challenging God and his existence and his importance in your life, or you getting upset because someone wearing a certain color, thank you, God, for deliverance. My God. People talking about your mama, but they better not talk about your uncle, your aunt, your fraternal order with the Masons and the Eastern Stars, like with me in that point in my life. But they could talk about my God. Not that God needs me to affirm him or protect him. It's about that the precedence of where have you placed God. This is a spiritual thing. The small thing. Father God, I glorify you and I thank you for the word that you've given me on today about the sacred cows that I even had in my life that you caused me to repent about, to give them up, to realize that something that small, I had made it greater than you, that someone could do something or say something about you, and many times I ignored them. Sometimes it didn't appear to me to be out of shame. But it was because I did not want to go toe-to-toe with people challenging me about my God. Thank you for the boldness to tell people there's only one way. It's not a higher calling. It's not a man upstairs or a man here or there. But God, I need to stand up and decree and declare the word of God. I need to be able to tell people that I serve the one and true and only living God. Whether it's subtle as a microaggression or whether it's something that's bold where someone can tell you that they don't believe and they don't even believe that there's a devil. Thank you, God, for teaching us how important you are and how important we are to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I'm going to take this time to open up the line for anyone that wants to maybe share a testimony about their sacred cows or just talk about what if the word hit anywhere or meant anything to you on today. And then I'll come back and I'll make the announcements and pray us out and do everything just because God is so important to me. The lines are open.
Praise God. Morning, saints. This is Minister Margot, and I just thank God for another Sunday. Thank God for the word on today, and I'd just like to thank Apostle for helping us to understand the importance of that personal focus that we need. We need to really look carefully at what we are prioritizing. It's not the little things. They're not really little things. Anything that we put above God is a big thing. And thank you for that. Thank you much for that. And I just ask for your prayers on today. Help us to be a strong witness for God. I'm praying in my own way that God will help me to be a bold witness and to give me what to say. when that opportunity presents itself. So God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you as you go through this day in Jesus' name. Thank you. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Margo. And thank you for even allowing God to use you to say that little thing is not that little. It's a big thing. That is just a great word and reinforcement from God, reminding us, reminding me that it's not small to him, not any form of idolatry. So, and I just thank you for that. Is there anyone else? Okay, well, tomorrow, my God, we have the awesome, awesome, awesome privilege of hearing Iron Sharpening Iron at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it's 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, God is going to use the awesome ministry of Minister Margo McCoy to share the gospel of Jesus Christ from the north to the south, to the east to the west on the World Wide Web. And we have the awesome privilege of being able to tune in and hear what thus says the Lord. Thank God for the teacher and the preacher and this woman of God, because it's the third Monday. Then on Friday, we'll have the awesome privilege once again of hearing either Minister Sylvia Kaiser or our Prophet Antoine on that night. And it is Let's Talk as well. And that's at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune in. It'll be one or the other. I know last weekend we got to hear from last Friday, Minister Sylvia, so it's supposed to be Prophet Antoine's term, but I know they switch and cover for each other all the time. And then on Sunday, we'll be right back here on the air at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time or 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Let's Talk. And I thank God that hopefully Minister Sheila or Minister Brandon will be on the air with me, but know that it's still all good because we have to be ready at all times. I also forgot to say, on Monday nights, the host for that program, the hostess is Minister Sylvia Kaiser. So I thank God for her. Once again, remember, God is a jealous God. I'll say that again. God is a jealous God. And as Minister Margo reminded us, even that small thing is a big thing. Father God, Minister Margo said for us to pray for her, and I pray for her, God, that you not only would encourage her heart, God, but you would give her those things that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, and it hasn't even entered into the heart of man, the things that you have in store for her. I thank you, God, that you will cause her to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. I thank you, God, that you will cause her to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I thank you, God, that she will be that beacon on the top of the hill, that people look to her and say, I want to serve the God of Minister Margo, the one and true and living God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, caused the word in her belly to come forth. And when it comes forth, God, that all shall hear and all shall obey. For the anointing on her life will be second to none, for you placed it there. And God, thank you for the boldness. Thank you for the rhema word. Thank you for the yoke-destroying anointing of the word in her life. Thank you that she's healed, she's whole, and she's blessed from the inside out, from her head to her. Any pain has got to go. Any discomfort has got to go. God replace it with a joy unspeakable, and that she will know that she knows that she knows that she's healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And it is so, and so it is. So we pray for this program, that it will continue to speak, and that it will continue to heal, and that it will continue to deliver your word how you want it delivered. We thank you for every unique vessel that none of us sound the same. We have the sound that you want us to have. We have the smell that you want us to have. We smell what you smell. We hear what you have purposed us to hear. Thank you for the uniqueness, God, from every vessel, and that every unique vessel is doing it and saying it how you declare that it should be done. The teachers are teaching, the preachers are preaching, the prophets are prophesying, but most of all, God, we're all saying yes, Lord, in you, and we're grateful. Thank you for the program on this morning, the program on Monday that's coming to be, the program on Friday, and even throughout the rest of this year, and that if any would do their ceremonies that you would cause them to do for communion, God, that that would be a blessing. And even if you call them to do something else, as long as we're obeying God, you, God, that's all we need to do. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33, that says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you for the addition. Thank you for the multiplication. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for Pastor Troy, and that he will be up and whole. And anyone else that's sick and not feeling well, anyone else that's in fatigue, or anyone that needs anything, God, answer. Answer their blessings that they're requesting. Answer everything that they place before you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bye-bye.